This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca, in for Ira Flatow. Later this hour, we'll be looking at the psychology of rumors, how they get started, where they come from, and why they seem to spread faster than anything except the speed of light. And after that, we'll have an update on the Hubble telescope. But first, since 1999, five Bulgarian nurses and a Palestinian doctor have been jailed in Libya, accused of intentionally infecting more than 400 children with HIV while working at a Libyan hospital. The six were tried by a Libyan court, found guilty, and sentenced to death, in spite of evidence from some of the world's leading AIDS experts that the children were most likely infected by poor hygiene and the reuse of syringes, and despite evidence that at least some of the children were infected before the six even began working at the hospital. In 2005, the health workers were granted a retrial, which continued this week. Two major scientific journals have weighed in, hoping to put pressure on the Libyan government to release the six. The journal Nature this week published an open letter to Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi, signed by more than 100 Nobel laureates, appealing to him to uphold justice. Last week, the journal Science ran its own letter, signed by more than 40 scientists, accusing the Libyan government of ignoring evidence that would exonerate the six workers. Joining me now to talk more about the case is the author of that letter in Science, Robert Gallo. He's one of the co-discoverers that HIV causes AIDS. He also developed the first HIV blood test. He's now the director of the University of Maryland's Institute of Human Virology, and he joins us by phone. Nice to talk to you, Bob Gallo.
Nice to talk with you, Joe. It's a long time.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, so this is a pretty amazing story, and while I understand that it's, you know, that these claims seem far-fetched, how do you go about proving that they're false?
Yeah, that's, of course, it's difficult, Joe, to have absolute proof that no nurse and no hospital worker were guilty of anything. Let's start from the beginning, and everything and anything we know scientifically about it is that there's absolutely no evidence that they did anything deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with that, and then I heard, and I'll acknowledge this is secondhand, that there was evidence of that some people actually witnessed of torture to have them confess that they did so. Obviously, then your suspicions level raises dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to some of the scientific things. Depending on how you count these people, there are 400 some odd children. The highest total that I've seen has been 426 children that are infected. The nurses arrived in 1998, and they left in 1999, almost exactly 1 year there. I think it was March to February,
mm-hmm.
The total time, or February to March, I don't recall. But it's either 11 months or 13 months is the total time they were there. Now, some of these children went for therapy in Europe, and they went for therapy in, like, from my understanding, in Switzerland, Italy, and France, at least those three countries.
Mm-hmm.
There was opportunities to do some studies while those children came over,
right.
And some sequence of the genetics of the virus, the genome of the virus, the signs of exactly the strain of the virus were carried out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll come back to that, those studies in a moment, but there's other evidence obtained by Vittorio Colizzi of the University of Rome, number 2, Tor Vergata. Vittorio Colizzi, a collaborator with my colleague Luc Montagnier, actually went to Libya and went into that hospital and was able to get records and copied those records and found evidence that at least seven of those children were infected between 1994 and 1997.
So that was, what, 3 years before, or at least 1 year before the nurses and the doctor were accused of being there?
Exactly.
I see.
There was then evidence that is not so conclusive, among others, but certainly argues in a certain direction. There's evidence of multiple strains of hepatitis C virus in the children. And this is not a virus that's generally transmitted vertically from mother to child.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're not having sex. It can be, blood-borne, but with so many different strains of hepatitis C virus, it greatly argues that this was due to the lack of sanitary conditions within the hospital. They also had a vaccine program against another virus, hepatitis B. Yet, though they vaccinated some children, some of these children became infected within the hospital. If anybody were deliberately trying to infect them, they have a certain sophistication that they're infecting them with all kinds of viruses that are transmitted by blood.
Right, right.
There's also evidence that was originally denied by Libya. They thought there was no HIV in Libya, no HIV in that hospital. And there is one of those children that had virus that was sequenced in Europe, the genetic information sequenced. And the strain of the virus in that person I made a mistake. That person never went to the hospital. A person who we don't have any evidence went to the hospital. There are identical strains of children within the hospital. There is proof that that strain existed in Libya prior to any hospital contact or any contact with the nurses. The original argument is that the nurses brought these things in.
I see.
You know, doing wicked deeds.
Yes.
The West or wherever.
So it's possible, at least, that if people wanted to lay all the evidence before scientists, you could do molecular analysis on the various viruses that these children were infected with, and say with some certainty whether they were deliberately infected or whether.
Well, that can, Joe. That can help.
Mm-hmm.
The conclusive evidence is the evidence of the records that the children that they were ready to say to. Look, let's forget 426 or 400. You've got seven children. They have proof were infected before those nurses were there,
mm-hmm.
and yet they were part of the story to incriminate these nurses. That's the most dramatic evidence.
Got it. Well, I just want to. I mean, you've sent this letter, and of course there was this second letter from Nature and several others. Have you had any indication yet that your message is getting through?
You know, all I can say, to answer your question directly, no.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't certainly heard a word, but I'm encouraged by some things that, it's unusual, at least in my experience, to just jump into something like this for scientists. But, you know, we did this a little bit with South Africa not so long ago, through activists
mm-hmm.
in South Africa and scientists in America and some in Europe. Making continued pressure with things on the web, with things that were in some newspapers in South Africa, and with some things in scientific publications. There was a really increasing pressure, and I don't know if that caused change in the South African government, but the Minister of Health, where the was the chief target of some of the criticism and no longer has the power that she used to have. So
right.
That's been a change. So you get encouraged that maybe it will work. And in this case, I hope will work. At least it's helping to make it more visible, because where it'll really have the impact is when people like your program and other programs and important newspapers take this up, and they have, and you have. And
okay.
I think that's where it'll really matter.
Well,
the scientists can initiate a spark, and the flame will come from people like yourself.
Okay. Well, Bob Gallo, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, good to talk to you. Bob Gallo is one of the co-discoverers that HIV causes AIDS. He's also the director of the University of Maryland's Institute of Human Virology. That's in Baltimore.